topics loosely followed. Welcome to the Perpetually Untitled Podcast.
Are you 100% Apple there, or do you have a Windows machine?
100% Apple here, yeah.
So the thing that I am working on at work right now is preparing to present a training to all staff on Windows 11, specifically what's different in Windows 11 from Windows 10. Not much. Don't freak out. Like, that's not going to be the official title, but that's definitely the goal is, hey, it's fine. Don't freak out. And I am struggling to come up with like a half an hour's worth of topics. But one of the things that they're really pushing for Windows 11 is multiple like virtual desktops. So the user can have like a desktop for this and a desktop for that and switch back and forth with them. And I was talking to Rob. I'm like, I don't know when I would ever use it. That sounds terrible. But this scenario right here is when I would use it, I think, if I were you with the various other consoles that you have to have for the voicemail yeah. and the whatever.
Well, even like, I mean, I have like my work laptop and my personal laptop down here. Normally this mm-hmm. is the desk I use when I'm working. And so like, mm-hmm. so part of like the process of setting up to podcast is like, now, I mean, it's one USB-C cable, right? Like I have a hub. Gotcha. So I literally just unplug one, slap the other one in and plug it in. So it's not a lot of work. But normally at home where we have the studio, like I have kind of a semi-dedicated, have a laptop that's there all the time.
Yeah, this was my craft desk. I've given up on ever like unloading it to do crafts on. But I do keep my personal laptop on here, and I mostly keep everything set up the way it is. There is a USB cable. I think that's what connects me to the big box that I will sometimes unplug so that I have more room to use my mouse. Because trackpads are terrible.
And the
one that I have is, it's a Lenovo. It has that little like rubberized dot in the middle of the keyboard, which I call a nubbin. I know it has many names, some of which
like
are
like the eraser
not,
thing.
Not PG rated. But kiddo love, like when she discovered that that's what it does, she likes sitting down at my computer, like zooming the mouse around.
That was like an IBM specific thing.
Yeah, it's
and then
super
Lenovo
old
bought,
school.
Yeah, then IBM bought Lenovo, and then I guess that's one you don't really see those in any other laptops, I think.
And like I said, I think I heard that they're going to get rid of it finally, because why?
So my niece has this little star thing. Like she has a new bed, and then like the underpart's like hollow, and so she turned it in like a little like hideout area, and she had this little LED star she was trying to show me. Yeah, you push a little button on a controller thing and it turns on. And in the process of trying to show it to me, she ripped like the wires out because it's like this IKEA like thing, you know, and it's very delicate. And Dana kind of volunteered me to fix it, which is fine. But I'm like, I have very limited tools down here. But I did bring like, I brought a very small soldering iron just in case. You never know when you might need a soldering iron. It plugs into USB-C. So it's like the size. Oh. It's like, it's maybe slightly thicker and about the same length as like a Sharpie, like the thin Sharpie. So
I don't know when I would use one, but I want one now.
Well, hello, Carla.
Hi, Matt.
There's like eight other tangents that I would have gone down just in our various discussions here. So we should probably say hello. Done.
Yes.
Check mark. We've done that.
Check.
How are things back home?
It's still pretty cold. It's not the sub-zero temperatures it was. So kiddo had both Monday and Tuesday off this last week because of the extreme cold temperatures. There's so many kids that take the bus or that walk. Pretty much every school district in the area and the community college in the area canceled for those 2 days. It was no joke cold. I have a couple of friends who had pipes freeze. Ours did not, thankfully. Yep. But
I have a friend whose pipes froze as well. Still, like, I think she says, just starting to trickle.
So there's this stereotype, and I don't know if you run into it because you're not as addicted to social media as I am. But it's become like a joke or a trope in various neighborhood groups, either on Nextdoor or on Facebook, of what was that boom? What was that noise?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So Frostquakes are a thing. I had never heard of this in my life. There's a very nice, attractive young person from Channel 19 who sat there in front of an infographic explaining it. But basically, the groundwater freezes. It can cause the layer of like rock in the soil to crack. And it sounds like a booming noise. And of course, the coldest part of the night is usually somewhere between like 2 and 4 a.m., right? So that's when it got really cold. And then, you know, there's these boom noises. So what was that? I don't think it was gunshots this time, because that's, of course, the first thing that everyone thinks of, especially out in these sleepy suburbs. It's like, gunshots. No, it was fine. But it was literally like any community you care to name, because I'm in several different neighboring groups. So, you know, I got to know when the new donut shops open and stuff like that, right?
Well, it has been cold here as well.
Yeah.
It was in the...
like, did you have to put on a light jacket?
I did. And I had to zip it up a couple times too. I had to wear long pants, Carla.
Oh, the like, humanity.
I debated not even bringing long pants down here. And Dana was like, you're supposed to be a little chilly here. You might. And I'm glad I have long pants. But yeah, it was like in the 50s last week.
Yeah, that's long pants weather.
Yeah, long pants and light jacket weather. And it was a little frigid. It got down into the 40s at night. And but it was like, I think it just barely broke 70 today. It was actually a very nice day here. So finally,
perfect.
Finally a day of like, finally the first day since I got back down here that's been like, hey, this is the reason that I came here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that we have no voicemails.
I am not surprised, because we just rolled out an episode this morning. So there really hasn't been time for people to listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we had a bit of a break because of technical issues and things of like me traveling. It's getting harder and harder to balance all of the things.
So with no voicemails, should we pick a topic?
Let's pick a topic.
Boop boop beep boop 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 beep boop boop beep boop boop beep boop boop.
Advice.
Ooh.
We can do that.
I could do that. All right. Advice. Do you feel like you are the kind of person to take advice?
I would say by and large, I am. I think it depends. Like there's certain things I consider myself a bit knowledgeable on. And it depends on the topic, right? There are things I consider myself very knowledgeable on. And in those cases, I'm far less likely to take advice. But I will typically disagree with that advice and explain why, potentially in real time, right? Which is probably why some people think I'm a little bit of an ass. And then there are things I know very little about. And by and large, if someone who knows more than me about that topic gives me advice, I'm pretty likely to take it.
Yeah,
what about you?
I try to be the kind of person to take advice, right? Like why, relive someone else's mistake if I can avoid it. But for me, it's not so much like, am I knowledgeable about this topic necessarily? Like you, if I'm less knowledgeable about a topic, I'm more likely to take advice. But also just in general, is that person someone that I find credible? Like there are plenty of people that I know who are lovely and I like quite a bit and are smart people, but they're wrong all the time. They're just, especially not maybe as much as advice, some with advice, but things like making political predictions or making predictions about how various things in society are going to play out and like advising me, this is going to go this way. I'm like, but you're always wrong. But no, I try to be the kind of person to take advice. Where I really appreciate advice, I think, is like in a workplace setting, especially, starting a new job and there's all sorts of backstory and previous interactions that I wasn't privy to. So it's nice to have somebody else who can kind of fill you in and tell you where all of the minefields are so you can avoid stepping on any of them. So I always value
where
that kind of
where
advice.
Are the skeletons buried?
I don't even know the skeletons, but like, hey, don't mention such and such a topic to so-and-so.
Okay.
Or, hey, this project that you just thought of, we've tried 4 times over the last 10 years and it's always crashed and burned. Let me give you some context. So I appreciate that.
So I kind of have the opposite problem where in my work environment, a lot of the team left prior to my arrival.
Oh.
I think I mentioned like my company was acquired by another company and mm-hmm. that caused some initial friction. And I think some of the early people that had, you know, spent much of their careers there and been with the company since the early days took the opportunity to take the money and move on. I don't know. But so there's a lot of things that are done ways. And it's like, I have a specific example of I came on and I won't get into the details. It's super technical, but the way we did something made no sense to me. I'm like, I'm surprised this even works. This is ridiculous. One of my first priorities is going to be to unwind this and do it better. And mm-hmm. I spent off and on several months looking into it. At the end of the day, it turns out, even though it's a ridiculous way of doing it, because of a number of circumstances, it's kind of the only way to do it. And that would have been one of those things, like, had somebody been there to be like, I know this is ridiculous, but it has to be that way.
Right.
It would have saved me a lot of time. But on the flip side, sometimes I trust but verify as well, right? So, mm-hmm. and I guess that kind of falls in that middle category, right? Where somebody gives you advice and it's like, well, I'm going to, you know, do my own research or
I mean, speaking of advice, so not as much of my current role, but in my previous role, I was a manager. I did a fair bit of hiring of people. And in addition to telling them, you know, here's how this works at our workplace, my advice was always, you know, you have fresh eyes. So while you are still new and while you still have fresh eyes, make note of things. Make note of the things that you're surprised that we don't do or that you're surprised that we do, because after you've been at any kind of situation long enough, you don't notice as much. You're just used to it. So take advantage of that fresh perspective and, you know, talk to me about it. And there might be a reason we do something, or the reason might be that no one ever thought of it. No one ever noticed it.
Right, right, right.
So that was always like the advice that I would give to people. And honestly, I tell that like now to coworkers and peers, and there's so much value in having a fresh perspective on a situation. You have to respect the fact that you're not the first person necessarily to tackle that problem. But yeah.
Now, I will say I do get a little irritated if somebody asks me for advice on something I consider myself fairly knowledgeable on.
And then they ignore you.
And then they don't take it, right. Like, why did you ask in the first place, I guess?
Yeah, I have used you for advice. I took you with me TV shopping. Remember that way back when?
Yeah.
That TV, by the way, that TV, which, gosh, that was...
I don't even remember. It's been a long time.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
Still works.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to be giving it to one of my aunts whose TV broke down. Like, we have a larger TV. So the one that you helped me pick out was relegated to the guest room. It doesn't get turned on, you know. And so there's somebody who has a need of one and doesn't necessarily want to go out and buy a brand new fancy one. I told her, I was like, you know, it still works. It is long out of warranty. I have no idea how long it's going to keep working.
But it's free. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to burden my relatives who are like in their 70s and 80s with junk. You know, I don't want to like offload. But yeah, it's free. So.
Yep.
So your advice stood me in good stead because that television lives on to
and
grace
I got you
another home.
For the time, a pretty good deal on it too. Like this was back in the days.
Yeah.
Of H.H. Gregg, where you could actually like negotiate on the price. That's not really.
Well, and now TVs are just crazy cheap.
I know. Like, so this TV, you can kind of see it behind me. And I know we're already off topic, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But like this TV came with the condo. It's probably like a 40, 42 inch TV. It's in the bedroom. It's gigantic. The thing is very early flat screen TV.
So it's super heavy.
It's super big and it's super heavy. Like, two big mm-hmm. like 2x4s mounted to the wall to support it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to repaint this room probably in the next month or two. We're actually getting the way off topic now. We're getting like the living, dining, kitchen area painted starting tomorrow, but we decided to save the bedrooms for later. But I'm going to pull this ancient TV off the wall when we paint, of course, and then probably put a new one up there. But new TVs are so cheap. Like,
they're so cheap and they're so light.
Like, yeah. So I'm probably going to just take this to Goodwill. Like it has, even as a fairly large TV, it has no value anymore.
Yeah. I mean, there's
when you can get a 70 inch TV for like $500, why would you even?
There's and people you can who, get, who give them away. I mean, you could try giving it away. And Goodwill, I talking about trusting advice. Goodwill, I don't trust to treat things in such a way that they will continue to operate.
Yeah.
I've seen too many like piles of things that people are like walking over the piles of stuff.
And it's
in the donation centers.
By and large, it's for profit. You know, like I know they do some good and stuff like that, but it's like, you know, they're making money on stuff that we give them. So, and we've had the conversation about me not giving things away because of all of the chaos that comes with it.
Not sure about the situation with your condo, but I know my mother-in-law's condo in Florida, we're so off topic, has like a little bench in their covered area, and people will leave stuff there that's like free for their neighbors. You could just do that. Stick a little piece of paper on that says free, still works. Tape the remote to it and call it a day.
Or if I can even find like I haven't found like a Facebook group for like this area yet, but
that's a good project.
I will certainly find a way to get rid of a free 42-inch.
All right, that's my advice to you, is to give it away for free.
Give it away, not haul it to Goodwill.
Like how I tied that all back into our topic.
And it doesn't, the stand for it is long gone, so it has to mount on a wall, right? There's no.
Oh, yeah.
So that is another element.
I mean, with that mindset, but.
Anyway, back to advice. And so like one thing that happens fairly often to me. So we talked about like windows, right? And but you were talking about like the windows training early on. And
yeah,
I have a lot of people that come to me because I'm in tech with general computer questions. Mm-hmm. And I haven't used Windows with any regularity since like Windows 7, Windows 8 maybe days. Okay. Like my last time using Windows in a day-to-day situation was a number of years ago when they just upgraded. We're just upgrading from Windows 7, I think, to Windows 8. I have a Windows 10 box at home for those. Like, there's some things I do that require Windows. But by and large, I don't know much about Windows, and I have literally never touched Windows 11. I keep saying no every time Windows 10 comes up to upgrade. Yet, people come to me with computer questions, usually with Windows, and I'm like, I'm sorry, Or the other one is what router should I get, or what should I get for my internet, or how should I extend my Wi-Fi? And I'm like, well, I use enterprise grade access points at home, right? Like, I don't know much about
consumer level and
right. So for the most part, I'm like, just go buy a Netgear or a not Netgear anymore, because I think everything's like you have to sign up for their cloud and stuff.
Just go on Wirecutter and see what they recommend.
Yeah, or just buy something that says TP-Link. Usually they're fine. And same with printers. Buy a Brother Laser printer and then never buy another printer again. And that's only
your
advice
I have
for you on printers. I'm looking at this inkjet. Stop right there. I don't know much about printers. I don't know much of anything about Windows. And I get a lot of questions about those because I'm in tech.
I get asked about book recommendations. What kind of advice would I have? Like, I have this person.
Yeah.
It's a 9-year-old boy who likes graphic novels, or a 12-year-old girl who wants fantasy but doesn't want any kind of romantic element whatsoever. And in a lot of cases, I'm able to give good advice in the professional like book world, like in bookstores and libraries. They call that reader's advisory, where you get to know. But it's really hard when the person is doing it like as a gift. It's much easier if you can talk to the person and kind of get a feeling for what their tastes are, because little kids, it's Dr. Seuss, right? Or it's Mo Willems Pigeon Books or something like that. But once you get old enough to have your own opinions, it becomes more difficult. It's harder to give advice. It's like asking, what movie should I buy them on Blu-ray or whatever? And it's like, well, that's a very, there's a lot of choice. There's a lot of variation there. So, but that's the kind of advice I get, advice questions I get rather, is book recommendations or how to break into the industry. I do enjoy when it's something that I'm knowledgeable about. I don't read a ton of romance, so it's hard for me to recommend that beyond kind of like the big ones out there.
Yeah.
Similarly, horror. I don't read a lot of horror. So I know a couple big names. But again, if you've got specific tastes, I don't know. But
yeah. And there are websites for that.
There are websites for that. There's a couple different good ones.
So if you're asked questions about something that you feel not particularly knowledgeable on, but you know resources, would that be your answer? Like, I don't know much about horror, but here's a website that really helps you to like get recommendations from people who are more familiar with that genre.
Maybe not even that. So bringing it back to like book recommendations. So when I would get a question like that professionally, I would kind of pivot like, well, tell me what your favorite movie is. Tell me what your favorite TV show is. And then you can do searches based off of that. Or what's the last book that you read that you really loved?
Yeah.
And things like if you put that book into Amazon, it used to be, I think it still is, where Amazon will tell you people who bought this also bought this and this and this.
Yeah.
And that can usually give you some sort of something. There's a bajillion bloggers. Now there's, of course, well, for now, there's TikTok. And so the slice of TikTok that deals with books, they call book talk. Mostly that's people who are into romance or romantasy and YA, but you can find other stuff. It's just really hard to search that.
Yeah. Maybe a bit of a tangent, maybe related, but one thing that irritates me about modern times a little bit, you know, this is man yells at cloud moment, right?
Okay.
Everything is video now. Like, you want to learn how to do this, or you want to like know how to, like, everything's video now. And for a lot of things that makes sense, right? But In tech, sometimes it's like, I'm going to need 3 commands to run. What do I need? And it's like, okay, I find no documentation. Instead, it's like a 10-minute video of somebody showing you how to do it. So like for book reviews, I would want to read about the book reviews, not go to TikTok and try to find book talk, right?
I'm fine with videos usually as long as they have closed captions, because I'm not always in a situation where I can have my audio on. Yeah. So that's my advice to any.
So you want to read your videos.
I always use closed captions. that's my advice for any wannabe creator influencer. Always enable your closed captions.
But it's also funny to me that I'm going to read the closed captions on this video to see what book recommendations are versus reading just what the book recommendations are.
I'm okay with that, though. I'm okay with that because there's so much about communication that's nonverbal. People's excitement level and their facial expressions. So I'm okay with that, but I don't want to lip read. So,
or the other, I watch a lot of YouTube. And if you're looking for advice for something to buy, you mentioned Wirecutter. That's a good resource. Another one is YouTube channel called Project Farm. They do no farming. I don't know why it's called Project Farm, but this guy buys with his own money, like 10 or 20 of something. Like, he did one on drink mugs, like Stanley and some of the
Yeti
other
Yeti and all of the,
versus like some Amazon brands and some other brands, and how do they hold up? And he does all these different test scenarios, and he develops his own testing methodologies. So he did vacuums once. I used that when we were looking at a vacuum for the condo. So he does a bunch of different things.
I mean, but theoretically, that's what Consumer Reports and Wirecutter are supposed to be doing. But I think there's a little bit of erosion of trust of those, because, like, you know, New York Times bought Wirecutter, and so now there's all this sponsored stuff.
Right. Okay.
So
advice.
So people come to you for tech advice. What do you find yourself seeking advice on usually? Like, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to consult an expert because I don't feel expert. What is that thing that you're usually asking for advice on?
There's a couple of categories that come to mind. One is, I don't have an eye for decor type things like what glasses look good on me, or what t-shirt should I get, or what clothes, like those type of things. Because I'm not good at gauging how things look on myself, or how things look in our house, in our environment, or whatnot. The other one, by and large, is just anything pop culture. You know, what music should I listen to? What movies should I watch? Because I find that a lot of my friends have similar interests, right? Mm-hmm. And I generally believe that I would, if, and this applies to almost anything, if somebody I know gives me one recommendation, I will typically trust that over like 100 strangers recommending something else, right? Because like I said, there's some people, you know, they're kind of just wrong, right?
Or they just have different tastes or whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, what TV shows to watch, what movies to watch, that type of thing. I think by and large, people ignore that advice from other people. Like if somebody says, oh, you should watch this movie, most people are like, okay, yeah, I'll get right on that. And then they don't. That's a piece of advice I tend to take, is if people recommend a show or a series or a movie, I tend to take them.
Were you the one that recommended Clarkson's Farm to me? No, that might have been one of my coworkers.
I don't think so.
You might get a kick out of that. It's on Amazon Prime. It's the one guy from Top Gear.
Yeah, Jeremy Clarkson.
Clarkson. Yeah. He buys, I don't remember how many acres of farmland and decides he's going to be a farmer. And as it turns out, he completely underestimates the complexity of the task.
That's kind of his shtick during Top Gear and Grand Tour, which is the show that they did with Amazon after they left Top Gear because he got fired.
I watched none of that. So this is my first exposure to him. Not really my cup of tea, but it occurs to me that you might enjoy that.
Yeah, I love Jeremy Clarkson. That is a recommendation I will almost definitely take because I do enjoy his sense.
There you are.
He's got a way with delivery.
Indeed.
What about you? What are some things you tend to seek advice on?
I tend to seek advice on things that I consider like high stakes. So it's not necessarily one topic. Usually that means financial. So like I have my basics covered. You know, I've got my retirement plan fairly well developed, but like, oh, there's this new thing. Should I invest in this structure or in that structure? Or for it's so not like super expensive, but my washer and dryer for my laundry, they are old Maytags that I am guessing by like the blue, like the aquamarine blue pinstripe trim on them are probably from the late 80s, early 90s. Because we've lived in the house 9 years now. They came with the house. They were old then. And we've already had the instance where like we called someone to repair them. And they're like, oh, well, those are so old that we don't repair them. But there's this guy. And he's in his 70s. And he came out to the house. And he did a great job. But they're kind of like making noises again. And we've called the guy. And he's not answering. And like, he's in his 70s. Maybe he's in Florida. That's the hope.
Yeah.
But like, hard to know, you know, and so there's not really anyone else that can repair it. So I asked advice. So I like doing that. You know, I'm on the phone with this good, reputable appliance repair shop. I'm like, so if these are dead and I can't get someone to fix them, what is your recommendation? Or when I was getting ready to buy a new vehicle, I have a specific garage that I like and that I trust. I said, so if I'm buying something new, you know, here's kind of what I'm looking at. Do you have opinions, positive or negative? And so I try to find, you know, again, someone that I trust, that I feel is reputable. And then I ask them for advice on something that's going to be, you know, a few thousand dollars or more. So, yeah. I mean, more than that for a car.
And I hate to break it to you, but when it comes to appliances, they're not, none of them are built to last anymore.
So I have the deets from this repair shop. So, Speed Queen is the brand. Mostly they make washers for laundromats.
Yeah, they make, but they're big in commercial.
They have a residential model and they gave me like the specific model number. It's $1,400 ish.
Yeah.
For just the washer.
but it will last you for the next 20
years. But it will last you.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, if you don't care about a matching set, if you need the dryer. And I was like, well, she's like, it'll probably save you at least $500. I'm like, I like that. And more than matching.
I'm listening.
I'm listening. A Whirlpool. Again, she gave me this specific model. And she said, avoid anything that has a computer board to it. They still make some dryers that will have a mechanical dial for the timer.
Turn it. Yeah.
Get one of those. So that was her advice. You heard it here, folks. If you're on the market for a washer and dryer.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's one unfortunate shift as things get more high tech and things move fast is like they don't build them to last because the
technology is going to move. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Our last washer and dryer lasted 7 or 8 years. And I remember I have a trusted appliance store as well that my family actually used to own like many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. So I know the family that bought it. They still run it. It's a local place. Mm-hmm. And I said, I only got 7 years out of this one. He said, that's, you know, kind of, again, like unless you go to like commercial level stuff, that's kind of the, that's about what you can expect out of a washer and dryer nowadays is, you know, 7 or 8 years. So
yeah, that's what they told me, like, whatever you need to do to keep this current set running, do it.
The dryer we had, I know we're off topic again, but I was just telling a story recently, like the dryer we had at our first apartment together, I dropped it down 2 flights of stairs.
Oops.
Like it fell off, you know, I didn't have a proper appliance dial. I was using a regular one. I had like a bungee around it, you know.
I was doing the ratcheting strap.
Thankfully, nobody was down the stairs, right?
Yeah.
Like, that could have been bad, but it literally tumbled down 2 flights of stairs. The corner of like the control panel thing completely busted off. Like it was a plastic piece, right? I hauled it up, plugged it in. The thing worked fine. And then we moved out of there into our first house together and it lasted. I mean, it was still working.
Another few years. Yeah.
Yeah, it was still working. We got the washer finally gave out and the dryer was working fine, but I wanted a matching set. So we got rid of the both. If I dropped a modern dryer down a flight of stairs.
Done.
That was quite a rant on.
You really are like old man that yells at sky today.
I am. And I mean, I have lots of opinions that come out and advice, but that leads me to an interesting question, which is, what is your position on unsolicited advice?
Ooh, so unsolicited advice, I try to reserve giving unless I can tell there's going to be like imminent like harm if I don't speak up. Like
someone's getting hurt or
like, yeah, or like hey, yeah. You know, that's, I'm a parent, and so a lot of the advice give is...
I suggest you don't haul that dryer up those stairs without a proper...
Well, like, hey, you know, I know that you think it's going to be a quick fix, but maybe, like, let's turn the power off at the breaker before we poke stuff. Or let's, you know... Yeah. But yeah, I try not to give it, or I try to phrase it in such a way that, like, you know, hey... I've had a similar situation to that. Let me know if you would like my perspective or something like that, where it's kind of like offering the potential for advice without full bore diving in with the advice.
And that's a good point. I think it probably depends on how you present it, how you position it. I can't help myself. If somebody's talking about something that I have a lot of experience with, like another good example is like home stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I've owned a lot of houses. I've done a lot of stuff. I've worked with a lot of contractors. I have a lot of experience here. And I sometimes can't help but jump in and say, here's my experience in that scenario. Not in a, you should do it this way, but I once did it in the way that you were proposing.
Yeah.
And here are my results.
Yeah. Let me provide you this data point.
Yeah. Like, do your own research, do your own thing. This is X number of years ago, so things might be different now, but this was my experience. I just can't help it sometimes.
Well, look, I gave some advice today. So there's it's a Facebook group for women specifically networking. So job hunting, people post jobs, people are looking for jobs, people are looking for resume help. And someone posted saying, you know, hey, I have this friend who has these specific unique characteristics. They're having a hard time finding employment. Where else should they be looking? And one of the fields that they were most interested in happens to be the field that I am very, very knowledgeable in. So I feel like it was kind of already asking for advice a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's my favorite job board. And then also, if your friend is having a hard time getting that first interview, here is my advice on like structuring a resume. Well, basically I offered like, hey, if your friend wants to meet with somebody, I'm happy to go over her resume with her. Kind of, they were already asking for advice, but yeah, I'm pretty knowledgeable in that industry. And especially if you're looking for an entry level job in that industry, that's what I used to hire for all the time.
Right.
So,
and that's an industry that A, probably doesn't change a whole lot as far as how that works. And B, it's a little, it seems a little like it's a small world kind of a situation.
It is a very small world. And plenty of the peripheral stuff has changed over time, but the kind of person that you kind of want hasn't really changed. Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm careful with giving unsolicited advice. So there's a nonprofit that I volunteer with where, you know, I had a pretty serious illness several years ago. And so this nonprofit will, in addition to the other things they do, pair people who are going through active treatment with like a mentor who has also kind of gone through that, just as someone to like vent to or ask goofy questions of or whatever. And so, because it's medical in nature, I'm always super cautious about like what kind of advice I'm giving. And I don't want to give unsolicited advice because it's the kind of position where like everyone has an opinion. Sort of like for women and pregnancy, like you want opinions on child rearing, go out as a pregnant woman in public and everyone's going to tell you their opinion and you get real sick of it real fast. So I try to be really respectful of the fact that they've probably heard tons of suggestions from complete strangers. Like when I was going through it, had a complete stranger tell me that I would not have gotten sick had I been vegan. And this man still lives and has all of his teeth. So kudos to me because I literally saw red as he said that.
Wow.
I know, right? And going back to your original question about like unsolicited advice, I really try to be careful with it because it can be really triggering and really frustrating to people on the receiving end. You've heard the term mansplaining before. I don't think it's necessarily limited to any gender. I think anytime
you've
got a person that barges in with unsolicited advice.
I have been mansplained to before by both genders.
Yeah.
For sure. And you know what? And I am sure that I have done, at least unintentionally, right? Mansplaining to other people. I'm sure, like I said, if I jump in with unsolicited advice, I'm sure it probably comes across that way. I try to be, even when I'm being asked for advice, I try to be kind of conscious of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, example, we have mutual friends who just bought their first house and they know that we've bought and sold houses before, and this is the first time doing it. And so, you know, they're like, we would love any information you have. So we went and looked a couple houses with them. I was clear to say, like, I am not a home inspector. I am not an expert in these things. I can I can point out the things I see, and I can point out the things I would suggest you ask a home inspector about. Mm-hmm. But if I say something looks fine or something looks concerning, unless
it's
something,
do not take that as gospel.
There are things like I'm pretty good with electrical. Like I can definitely say that's not right electrical, right? But I don't know a lot about plumbing, foundational stuff. I know kind of a little bit what to look for, but you know, I always kind of was like, don't take any advice that I have. Don't take anything I say as gospel. I remember I used to have a trusted plumber. One time I called him for a problem I was having and he said, I can be there in 2 days and I can fix it for you. And this is how much it'll cost. He said, but you'll be shocked at how easy it is to do. And you'll feel ridiculous that you paid me to do it. So
see, that's really nice.
And I'm going to explain to you how to do it. And this is kind of in the early days of YouTube where like now there's like probably 1,000 videos on how to do it. And this wasn't quite the case back then. But he's like, there's plenty of online information on how to do this. It'll take you 10 minutes. I recommend you do it yourself. But let me know, and I'm happy to come out and do it. And that was a moment for me where I realized, you know, I used to be one in the early days of homeownership. If something went wrong, I just call somebody to come fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's probably more things that I can do myself. And it's really convinced me to learn how to do some basic stuff myself because it would cost a fortune to have every little thing that needs fixed, you know, hiring somebody.
I think I told you, maybe maybe it was on this podcast, I don't remember, but like I took some home, like some free home repair courses at the end of the summer. One of the series dealt with plumbing issues. And so emboldened by that, and you got to know what to even search for to find the right YouTube video, yep. right? Rob and I replaced the wax ring around the toilet in our main bathroom.
I hate doing that. It's one of the most disgusting things to do. It's super easy, but
super disgusting. But like toilets are really heavy, really heavy. Yeah. And
did you take the top tank off first, or did you take the whole thing off at once?
The whole thing, because the tank doesn't come off on ours without. Yeah, it does. Well, yeah, it does. But we didn't want to mess with the seal on it. So you empty out the water, but there's lots of YouTube videos. And like I said, I had taken this class, so. A new wax ring, I think, was $8, and I'm sure a plumber would have been happy to charge us $150 to come out and clean it, you know, and do all of that and replace it. So we felt really good about that. But yeah, getting that kind of advice from a pro is really nice. Like,
yeah, and just and knowing that you can, you know, and I tried to pay it forward with these friends who ultimately bought a house.
Yeah.
You know, they said, we're going to replace a faucet. And I gave him the same advice. You know what? I would recommend doing it yourself. It's very easy.
Yeah.
You'll hit a couple snags in the process, but you will at the end realize that you can do some things yourself.
Yeah. Things that I won't mess with, anything that involves like natural gas.
You know that gas doesn't actually have a natural smell. They add the smell of gas.
We were just telling kiddo that tonight, actually. And I couldn't remember if that was true also for like car gasoline gas that naturally has a smell. But I think they add it to natural gas, or maybe it's added to both. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, this has turned from the advice episode to the homeownership and episode.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, because that's an area where I like having advice. You know, I give people the advice.
Let's try to shift gears. Way too much house talk. What are some pieces of advice that you have given that have worked out well for you? You shared that like the TV we bought together has worked out very well, and I shared that advice that you've received that you're like, hey, I really appreciate that. Like I like the plumber telling me to do the pressure release valve myself.
There wasn't necessarily one specific person that gave me this advice, but in general, both my parents and Rob's parents, when Rob and I decided to get married, were very chill about what had to be in the wedding. And my parents had kind of set that precedent. And so the advice was basically, don't feel like you have to do all of the things that are in these wedding magazines or that you see on social media posts or whatever, you know, don't get sucked into that trap. And so that worked pretty well for us. We did a very unconventional wedding. It was not super expensive. And I think everybody had fun, which was the main goal. Like the main goal was we are married at the end of the day. Check. But we wanted people to have fun. And so we kind of kept that at the forefront. And then again, advice wise, Rob felt very strongly about this. So I don't remember if it was a book or an article he had read, but it's the dual income trap. And so when we were getting ready to move, I was changing jobs to be in the same city where Rob's job was so that we could maybe shorten everybody's commutes. And so we were looking at moving. And when we got, you know, the bank pre-approval and started looking on paper, we could have purchased quite a large home. And Rob really insisted on very, very much smaller than what the bank wanted us to buy. And these last 3-ish years, I've been so grateful that he really insisted, because we were able to basically have me stay home for 2 years and then him stay home for a year and live off of one income very comfortably, because we didn't buy what we could have bought on paper. I don't know if he got that advice from somebody, but that was like you know, my husband's advice to me as we were navigating the process together. And that worked out really well.
Well, that's really funny because I remember Dane and I having that exact same conversation. And I was the one who was like, I want to be prepared to live off of one income. And yeah. So everything we've done, even today, I mean, it might not on the surface look like it, but we've always lived as if we would only have one income.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons that we're able to do things like buy a second place in these things is because early on in our marriage and early on in our kind of building our life out, we made some financial decisions specifically around both our first house and our wedding about what we were going to spend, what we wanted, and being able to afford it on one income if we ever had to.
Yeah. So, and I remember you guys planning your wedding and Dana wanted a lot.
Yeah.
She is a princess, and she is a princess, to be fair.
And we, through the process of negotiation, discussion, compromise, etc., I think we checked pretty much all the boxes, mm-hmm. you know, and like I mm-hmm. said, at the end of the day, we were married. That was goal number one, but mm-hmm. we had a memorable wedding that people still talk about today. Like mm-hmm. I still hear people talk about our wedding, and it's been way too many years, right? And the wedding was paid for and the honeymoon was mostly paid for at the time of the wedding.
Yeah.
So like we didn't go into debt to do any of it. We were able to mm-hmm. save up and spend within our means.
Our honeymoon was free because that's when Rob still worked at a previous employer that like did
that you got
employee
the, yeah.
condo. Yeah. Yeah. So that was our honeymoon. Woohoo.
We spent 2 weeks in Italy. It was not free.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, it was pretty much paid for by the time that it happened.
Nice. So
that's a good piece of advice because they don't really teach financial literacy.
They do.
Like as part of like a core high school curriculum.
Not even high school. So kiddo in third grade last year had a whole classroom economy where they all got what would be basically like universal basic income. But then they could have a job on top of that. But they had to rent their desk every week. They had to buy insurance every week. And if you didn't have insurance, the teacher would read out loud from the news. So like if there was a hurricane hits, or if there was an earthquake hits or whatever. And then if you didn't have insurance, you would have to pay to repair whatever got damaged.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
We had none of that.
Like, I know. I mean,
it was kindergarten through college. Never once did anybody. I learned how to sew, Carla. I learned how to sew in
you know,
high school.
That's good to know, nobody, though.
It is handy. I'm glad I learned it. But like, I wish somebody would have talked anything about financial literacy. Yeah, I had to learn it myself.
That was a big thing for both of my parents, but especially my dad. You know, I hear his voice still. He's been gone for like 10 years. But when I go shopping, in the back of my mind is the, how much would you get for that at a garage sale? And before he would buy anything new, he's like, is that really worth that much? How much would you get for that at a garage sale? So, yeah. Speaking of parents, like, did your parents, were they the kind to give you lots of advice or they kind of let you do your own thing?
I feel like for the most part, they kind of let me do my own thing. I mean, within their domain, like, I mean, a lot of my geekness, I'm sure, comes from the fact that my dad was in tech fields, right?
Yeah.
You're joking about me having a soldering iron, right? But he taught me how to solder.
Yeah.
And that is something that has come in handy many times, including this evening where I fixed the star. It's probably like a $20 star, but now they don't have to go buy a $20 star. And it took me, you know, a couple minutes of horsing around. Yeah. But for the most part, as far as advice, I didn't get a lot of, you know, do this, don't do this kind of stuff. I think I kind of figured it out myself. And I think I did an okay job of it, I guess.
You're happy with how you've turned out.
I think so. And you're right. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint like who gave me specific piece of advice, but I remember one piece of advice I was given. I used to get blisters on my toes.
Aww.
And somebody somewhere said, socks are one thing you don't skimp on. Like spend good money and get something that is primarily synthetic material. And I switched to spending good money on socks and getting ones that are made out of synthetic materials. And I don't get blisters anymore. So.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, like not so much spending on good socks, but the fact that the synthetic fiber is superior is what I'm hawing about.
I think it's something about like cotton holds moisture more or wicks or something about like
wool is supposed to wick. I thought.
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe not in your shoe.
I used to wear socks. Changing socks made my feet not get blisters anymore. Oh. So that was
that seems like
to
good
this
advice.
Day still a piece of advice that thank you whoever that gave was. That to me many years ago. Like my feet, thank you in perpetuity.
Yeah.
I think we've covered this topic pretty well. We've shared advice. We've talked way too much about houses.
Of course.
We've talked about advice that we live by, that we were given, and we really appreciate. And
yeah.
I say we put a done stamp on this topic.
I am fine with that, yes.
All right. Well, I have been Matt.
And I have been Carla.
And we'll talk to you soon. Hello, dear listeners. In case you missed it, we're running a small contest. Anyone who leaves a voicemail before episode 70 will be entered to win a currently undesigned, perpetually untitled coffee mug. Just give us a call at 216-505-0180 and leave us a voicemail. Give us a piece of advice or just say hello. You must be in the US and only voicemails we play will qualify. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will consider leaving us a rating or review. As always, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in 2 short weeks.